If you aren't careful, it would be easy to miss the significance of this Sunday, this Transfiguration Sunday, in the scheme of things. At first glance, it might appear to be nothing other than just an ordinary Sunday, tucked neatly in the calendar year between Christmas and Easter. To miss its significance, however, would be a tragedy. For buried very carefully toward the end of the reading is a powerful detail that lets us know just how important this day is. So let me take a moment and set that detail up for you. Ever since we started the new Christian calendar year with the first Sunday of Advent on December 1, each of our weekly readings have gone out of their way to present all the ways in which Jesus not only fit into the tradition into which he came, but how he represented the culmination of that tradition as well. And today's sacred reading starts off much the same. When Peter, James, and John make that difficult trek up the mountain to be with Jesus, and they experience a remarkable moment when two pillars of the faith appear beside Jesus, it seems as if once again we are being set up to see Jesus as the fulfillment of expectation. But then, toward the very end of the story, Jesus does something small, something quiet, something simple that sends a very important message, that the days of the expected are drawing to a close, that the unexpected is drawing near. What small thing did Jesus do that signaled such an important change? Well, listen carefully as I read Matthew 17, 1 through 9 from the Common English Bible. And then let's come back together and see if we can figure that out. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." Thus ends the sacred reading. As I suggested at the outset, this morning's reading is set up in such a way that you get lulled into thinking you know how the story will end. Jesus, like Moses, gathered those closest to him to make the trek up the mountain. In Moses' case, he took Aaron partway up the mountain, and in Jesus, he took Peter, James, and John all the way to the top. And while on the mountain, Jesus, like Moses, had an encounter with the divine. In Moses' case, tradition tells us it was an indirect encounter with God, while in Jesus, the divine was revealed through the personages of Moses and Elijah. And at the moment of revelation, Jesus' environment, again like Moses, was bathed in brilliant, consuming light, light that brought the disciples, like the Israelites gathered at the base of Mount Sinai, to their knees. So up to that point in the story, there were few details that truly set it apart from others. But then, in the midst of the appearance of that brilliant light, comes a a tiny detail that sets Jesus and the work that he came to do apart from his tradition as well. That small detail had to do with how people responded to the manifestation of light. If you return for a moment to Moses' story, you might remember that when the people saw the light or that manifestation of God's presence, that they responded by crying out, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die." That's what they said in Exodus 20:18. In other words, the people responded to the light by putting as much distance as possible between themselves and God. But not so in the case of Jesus' story. For as Patrick Wilson points out, when the disciples were, and I quote, "overwhelmed by the presence and voice of God," Jesus reached out his hand, touched them, and reassured them with the gentle and loving words, "Do not be afraid." And herein, my friends, lies an important way in which our Christian faith, an incarnational faith that truly embraces this notion of Emmanuel, God with us, gives us something that we can carry through the challenging days that lie ahead. Listen how Patrick Wilson beautifully summarizes this unique aspect of our Christian faith. He writes, "This is the way that God comes into the world, not simply the brilliant cloud of mystery, not only a voice thundering from heaven, but also a human hand laid upon a shoulder with the words, 'Do not be afraid.'" God comes to us, Wilson continues, "quietly, gently, that we may draw near and not be afraid. God's glory is majestic, and so far beyond our capacity to receive it, that we can take just as much of God's glory as a human hand can hold. God's glory and magnificence and power and majesty are unsurpassable, we say," Wilson concluded, "but we must also declare that God's glory and magnificence and power and majesty are surpassed by God's willingness to shed them all in order that we might finally recognize God's love and gentleness. The measureless power that made the heavens and the earth concentrates in a hand reaching out to us." And so, my friends, as we sit on the cusp of Lent, the season of reflection and preparation that gets us ready for the departure of a leader and the uncertainty of what lies ahead afterwards, let us hold on fast to this morning's story. For that story reminds us that no matter what happens in our lives, be that individually or collectively, that God is present and is near. The story reminds us that in those moments of uncertainty, when we, like Peter, James, and John, aren't quite sure what to do, that God's love will be with us, will reach out and assure us, and will surely move us ahead. The good news of our faith is that God's love can and will be made real in any number of ways. So our challenge then, in those moments when life brings us to our knees, is to stay present, stay alert, and stay connected with God's reassuring touch as he gently nudges us on the next leg of our journey. May we bask in the brilliance of God's light and all the love that it reveals. Amen.